It's Thursday night. Time for the Psychic View with your hosts, Maureen Holleran, Steve Frampton, Jackie Hahn, and Allura. During the second half of the show, call in to connect for a free psychic reading. Join us during this transpersonal collective experience. Welcome to The Psychic View on PsychicAccessTalkRadio.com. Sponsored by PsychicAccess.com, where all psychics have been interviewed, verified, and accuracy tested, assuring you the highest quality of quality service. And now, on with the show.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen. I am Maureen Holleran, and you are listening to The Psychic View, sponsored by PsychicAccess.com and simulcasting live on PTN Radio at PeoplesTVNetwork.com. This evening, we will be discussing intuitive children with our special guest, Dr. Athena Drews. I am honored to introduce my like-minded co-host, starting with Steve Frampton. Hello, Steve. How are you tonight? And would you... Yeah, I'm sorry, I didn't let you... I know you're doing great. Would you please introduce yourself to everyone?
I would love to. Thank you, Maureen. I'm excited to be here. I'm very excited about the show, about intuitive children. It's an incredible subject. And yeah. My name is Steve Frampton. I'm a psychic medium, originally from the UK, but now living in the States very happily. And I'm one of the co-hosts on the show, and I give readings on psychic access. I'm particularly passionate about helping people to tune into their true life purpose and create the life and get on the path that will really make them most fulfilled and able to make the greatest difference. And I'm also extremely honored to connect with people that have passed to the spirit world. So it's great to be here, Maureen. Thank you.
Thank you, Steve. And Steve, you really do what you do well. Hi, Jackie, and how are you this evening?
I'm wonderful, Maureen. Thank you for asking.
You're welcome. And would you like to introduce yourself?
Absolutely. I am Jackie Hahn. I'm an angel reader, angel therapy practitioner. So what that means is I connect with the angelic realm and bring through information that is really very timely to any situation that you may need guidance on, whether it's relationships or finances, career. I mean, anything really is up for grabs. So whatever you're looking to seek some insight into, I can certainly help with that. And I'm also a psychic on PsychicAccess.com, of course, so which is very exciting. And I'm happy to be here tonight. I'm looking forward to the show. So this should be another wonderful show. And I've been co-host for a little over a month now, and it's a lot of fun.
And we love you. We love you.
Oh, thank you.
We love you on part of our team. And tonight, Allura, as everybody may, well, people that are listening to archives won't know this, she is in a chat room. She's lost her voice, and it's somewhat on the, it's beyond the sexy lost voice type. But she, and I'm not, I won't read her, but Allura is an interesting woman. She does a lot of animal communication with the cards, animal cards, and she works in that area. And as for me, my name is Maureen, and I'm motivated by good intentions, and I do maintain a remarkable degree of objectivity in my readings, and I focus on, you know, relationships, business, and financial ventures. And mainly, I really do like the most is good old-fashioned spiritual development, which I think is the most important. But I know I utilize many tools to receive my psychic impressions and visions, and one being tarot. And I love what I do, and it is my job, and that's what I do well. And I'm also on PsychicAccess.com, and there you have it. So with that said, I'm sorry. One moment. I am just a little bit loggy. I'm not lost. Yeah, I'm never lost. Okay. So our guest tonight, Dr. Athena Drews is a remarkable woman. I respect her authentic compassion, which is a direct reflection of her work. She's a licensed child psychologist, parapsychologist, and volunteer consultant to the Ryan Research Center and the Parapsychology Foundation on Children's Psychic Experiences. She's also on the advisory board on the Ryan Center. Dr. Drews has conducted research, written articles and reviews, and presented on children's ESP experiences. She responds to parent and child inquiries regarding children and ESP that come into the Ryan Research Center and through A&E. She has been featured on the A&E cable shows, Psychic Children and the Paranormal State. Dr. Drews is currently the director of clinical training at a large nonprofit multi-service child and family mental health agency in the Hudson Valley, north of New York City. So I encourage you to visit her site, I'll give that out later. It's very informative. So please stay tuned for the second half of our show to get your free on-air reading with our gifted psychics. We will announce that call-in number later in the show, so be sure to have your pin ready. And if you were unable to catch our show on Ghost Investigations, Jackie, it was a great show last week, you will find a recorded archive linked as well as all the archives of all previous shows on PsychicAccessTalkRadio.com under the Archive tab. So please feel free to circulate the archive links and future show details to your family and friends, as it is our objective to connect with as many individuals as possible. So please share that link with others. We'd really appreciate that. So with that said, it is an honor. Dr. Drews, ready? And I think it is an honor to have you join us tonight, Dr. Drews. Welcome to our show.
Thank you. I'm very honored to be on your show.
I really, after speaking with you, I spoke with you the other day for a while. I was all over the place, but I'm real excited about what your work is just wonderful, because when I was a child, it was difficult. I wish you were around when I was younger growing up. And so I would like you to, I wanted to ask you, what inspired you to your professional path as a child psychologist helping children and parents with psychic experience and such?
Well, it began with my own personal experience around the age of 10. I had a precognitive dream. My mother wanted me to go to sleep. I was busy trying to finish a book that I was reading at bedtime, and she had my brother come in and turn off the light, and I was furious upon going to sleep. And that night, I dreamt of a car accident, seeing my mother being wheeled in on a stretcher with wheels that I had never seen before. I knew she was hurt. My brother, younger of the two brothers I have, Nick, was sitting in a wheelchair, but I knew in the dream, I was sort of looking from outside of myself at the events. I knew he wasn't hurt. And about 2 weeks later, coming back from a family trip, we were indeed in a car accident, and the exact scenes were replayed. The dream had stayed with me over those 2 weeks because it had a very different feel to any other dreams I had, and it was kind of very unusual for me to remember such detail, but it had a haunting feeling to it. And so when the events occurred, I had said to my father in the hospital, I had just dreamt this 2 weeks ago, and he had turned to me very seriously and stated, you know, don't ever tell anyone about this. And I felt terrible. I felt like maybe I had caused it from my anger at my mother upon going to sleep, that I made it happen. I had a lot of guilt. And I was very curious, why can dreams come true? How can we know the future? And it led me into two different paths. One, working toward finding out parapsychology information, and the other to become a professional psychologist to work with children and help them feel validated and heard and believed with their experiences. And about in my early 20s, I happened to come across an article about Maimonides Medical Center having a parapsychology and psychophysics dream lab, and they were doing telepathic dream research. And I called them up and I said, "Oh, please, can I come down and find out what you're doing? It just sounds very interesting." Of course, it was very much an answer to my questions. And I went down and met Dr. Stanley Krippner and Charles Onerton, and took part in some of the running the research experiment, the telepathy experiments, and became a volunteer research assistant there for 10 years. But felt I had found my home. I found kindred spirits that were able to validate that this is that I shouldn't feel guilty. I didn't cause it to happen, and there was an aim to it. It's precognition. And such events do happen. So over the many years, I've tried very hard to help families and children who have experienced psychic phenomena to feel validated, have a place for information, and to know that they're not strange or weird. There's nothing wrong with them. They're very gifted, and to help them understand their experiences.
So it sounds to me like, as with myself, Carl Jung used to say, if we all just did the jobs we were supposed to, our work we were to do in this life, we would all be better off. So this is what you were supposed to do in your work because of your experiences, and as well as there's, you know, I don't find, for me anyway, and I'm not real knowledgeable to be able to say I know all, but I don't see a lot of child psychologists that will focus a lot on what you do. And helping children with, you know, other than parents with these, is that so? I'm wondering.
There aren't as many as I wish there were. You're right. There aren't a lot of people out there that believe in this. Although I'm finding through my supervision of therapists that I can help them become more open to the phenomena. Mm-hmm. So when they have a child talking about seeing spirits, seeing their grandmother's spirit. That they don't immediately think the child's crazy. And I think there's, you know, a slow movement toward people becoming more open and aware that such phenomena is not something unusual. People shouldn't be labeled crazy or weird for having the experiences.
Well, you know, so you're making, I feel your energy is that actually you're probably helping a lot more what will be later child psychologists as well, maybe decide to go into this area that also would help, which will just add much better things to our human race. you probably are a mentor to many, I'm sure, that are in education right now, at the beginning of their education. Wanting to be, and so it's becoming more and more, because of you getting it out, it must be more and more appealing for some. But, you know, I wanted to ask you also, do you think that parents today are more supportive because they as well had experiences that were dismissed and ignored by all the adults or the parents in their lives?
There are some parents that do contact me that say that write to me via email that they have had a negative experience growing up. They don't want to have that happen to their child. There are some parents also who have not had experiences and don't believe in it, but they are sensitive enough not wanting to do or say the wrong thing for their child. They sense that there is something special here, and they want to help nurture their child's experiences. So I think, you know, there are more people having had experience. A lot of them have had their own childhood experiences or even as adults, and they certainly, are willing to encourage their child's development in this area. So it's nice to see that, you know, there's a lot of positive parent support out there.
Absolutely. And, you know, as I spoke to you the other day, that wasn't the case for my family. And, you know, I'm not, you know, festering in my family. Well, maybe I am, but my mom's listening to this. Hi, Mom. But the thing of it is, I wish in the 60s it was, well, it is what it is, but it wasn't like it is now. Like you said, even if they don't believe or whatever, they're still going to give their child they're going to not dismiss the child as easily as they did many, many years ago and reach out, which I'm really happy to hear that. That makes me feel good about what maybe didn't happen with me, but now it's changing. So, you know, I wanted to ask you if you could share with us how you respond to children that are scared about what is going on and how can they be empowered to feel protected.
Well, I do get a lot of emails and phone calls from children and families reporting that their children are seeing spirits or having spirit contact, or it's increasing. Some of it is agitating them or making them frightened. One of the things that I encourage the parents to help their children do is what I call put some psychic protection around them. It's a very simple guided kind of meditation that they can do for a few minutes in the morning to feel more empowered. And what it is basically sitting with their feet on the ground, closing their eyes as they sit on the edge of their bed or wherever they like, and envisioning that they have a bubble around them. And within this bubble, it's filled with white light. Depending on their religious beliefs, it can be the white light of Jesus, love of Jesus, love of God, universal love. And as they breathe in, they increase the amount of white light coming in. And as they breathe out, after holding it a few seconds, they expand their bubble out into the room. They breathe in again, hold it a few seconds, breathe out, expand it to fill their house. And then the third breath in, filling it with white light, and out again, the bubble expands into the universe. And everything on the other side of the bubble cannot hurt them, that they're protected within that bubble. They can do that easily, you know, in the morning. And while they're meditating, while they're thinking about bringing in the white light, it's important for them not to be fearful of the spirits that they're in contact with, and rather send it love and energy and tell it mentally as they're doing this to go to the light. If they fear things, if they fear the spirit, in a sense, it becomes a beacon. It becomes a means of that spirit finding the stronger energy and coming toward it. I also tell children and empower them that they can tell the spirit to go away, that they don't want it in their room. They have time to go to bed, or I'm at school, this isn't a good time, or come to me while I'm sleeping. They can call on the Archangel Michael to help protect them, that they can mentally and verbally say to the spirit, leave me alone, go away, and be able to have them do that so that they can give voice and fear that, feel that they don't have to fear it.
And they have boundaries as well. Then
yeah.
They have boundaries with the as well. With this.
Absolutely. Yeah.
I think someone I wanted to ask, one of my co-hosts, I told you we have a lot of co-hosts on here, wanted to ask you something, Dr. Drews. Jackie?
Sure.
Yeah, hi, Athena. I love this show, and I love hearing what you have to say. It made me think of something, you know, and I absolutely agree with what you're saying about the protection, you know, for the children. Would you suggest that could the children, in essence, do that for others, or you know, the parents do that for their children as well, or is it something really just for themselves?
A parent could do that with their child or for their child, envision a protection around their child. It's not essential to have it, but it does help. Them feel safer and less worried about something bothering them. Oftentimes, adults, when they meditate, especially if they're trying to reach out to their guides or angels, it's helpful to bring in the white light and have that protection around you. So, it can be done for others and sent out to others as well.
Right. I guess the reason I'm asking is, for example, if there was, let's say, a very young child who wasn't verbal, you know, so to speak, but the parents were able to sense some, you know, activity or something special about them, that they could go ahead and take care of that for them. You know, let's say they weren't able to say what they were feeling, or you know, because of their age, because they're very young.
Sure, a parent can do that. I work with very young children, 2 years on up, and even if they're not able to verbalize what's going on, the parent can sit there and talk, you know, do what I verbally said, and have the child just envision a bubble around them and envision the white light. And I think that they probably, even at a young age, could do that, but the parent could be the one saying it and sort of together doing it with them.
Right, right. Thank you. Thank you for that.
I think that's really wonderful. When I spoke to you, it's you teach them immediately at a young age, and they can carry that with them. You know, Dr. Drews, I also, Steve, our other co-host here, he would like to ask you something as well. And Steve, this is Dr. Drews.
Hi, Dr. Drews. The show's fascinating and your work's incredible. I was just smiling because when you describe the scenario where a child actually says to Spirit, you know, please don't disturb me, I have school tomorrow, and I had exactly that situation when I was a kid. Spirit would wake me up in the night, and I actually, after quite a long time, got to the stage where I said to my guides, you all need to stop disturbing me, I have to go to school. And it changed, and it's almost as though standing up for myself and putting in place those boundaries was a huge breakthrough for me with my work. So my question to you is, in your experience, has that technique always worked? So when a child actually steps forward and says, you know, I'm in control and I can enforce boundaries, does that generally work for them in their management of their spiritual energy and their connection with spirit?
From those that I have encouraged to do this with, they have reported it does help significantly. For some, they have even reported success as they're meditating and doing this guided imagery of sending the spirit to the light, that they've actually felt as though they've helped that spirit make that transition.
Okay.
Some children, sometimes they need a little extra changes in their room, such as having a night light on or a fish tank light on, which changes the energy level in their room, and that can help as well.
Yeah, okay. That makes sense, too. The environment, of course, would make some sense, Steve, I think. That's interesting, Steve. I know Steve is he's a medium, and he's something else. Interesting. That's a great question, Steve. I like that.
Well, thank
good
you.
For you.
Fascinating.
Good for you, though, for having those boundaries.
I'm glad he found that that he could have voice and be empowered, and the spirits listened. Usually they do listen if you're pretty forceful to them, but I'm glad that you found that out for yourself.
Yeah, thank you very much.
Thanks, Steve. That was a great question. You know, I wanted to ask also, how can you help or respond to the parents that fear the worst, such as psychic versus psychotic, the children being the latter, maybe psychotic?
Yeah, it's a tricky situation because a lot of times I'll get parents saying, you know, someone's telling me I should take my child to a psychiatrist or get medication or hospitalize them. I don't feel like they need that. And it can be a fine line at times, but I find that if the child's reporting that the spirit is trying to harm them, or they are being told to hurt themselves or hurt others, usually that's not a good sign, and that sometimes it may be an emotional problem than an actual psychic experience. But if it's a child reporting, usually they're seeing a spirit, or someone's communicating to them, or trying to, you know, tell them something, that is not an emotional problem. That usually is a psychic experience, or they're in touch with spirit of some sort, or a spirit guide. So it's more, if something dangerous is being told to them, if they are being encouraged to do something that's very dangerous or risky or hurt themselves or hurt others, then I would encourage the parent to seek out a psychiatrist or a psychologist or mental health professional for their child, that there may be a need for some other assistance.
Do you find that I know a lot of psychiatrists will, and I know you work alongside some as well in your profession, but you know, isn't it kind of interesting how I think a lot of parents that don't want to deal with anything or be open or just don't want to be bothered, their child's different or acting or saying whatever, that they're immediately taking them and wanting them medicated, which is a crying shame for some of those children because there would be no basis for that. Let's say you hadn't seen the child before. Have you run across anything like that where you met up with later after they had been medicated for ADD or whatever the case may be, and you found that maybe it wasn't the best, you know, thing to have done to a child? Or that had already happened, you know, not blaming parents or anything, but do you follow what I'm asking?
Well, yeah, sometimes what will happen is a parent will contact me after they have already medicated their child and said it's not working, the child's mm-hmm. still seeing things, you know, maybe there's some truth to this, maybe there's something more psychic to it, and I'll explain to them, you know, this what the experience may be that their child is having and that the medication may not help. And there is a tendency, of course, in our society and our culture to look for that magic pill and find things yeah. that are going to quickly alleviate any kind of distress or unusual situations. But luckily, these are parents that are reaching out to me, so then I'm able to,
yeah.
to guide them. But there may be many, many parents and many individuals who, unfortunately, don't have the benefit of someone advocating for them or telling them their experiences are not something psychotic or bizarre or psychological. And, you know, I've heard stories from adults later on who have said, you know, that they were diagnosed as schizophrenic or their parent was because they heard voices. But these were spirits. These were not psychotic episodes.
Right. And do you find that a lot of, are you seeing more psychiatrists being open to working with you, particularly as far as, you know, engaging conversation about perhaps they could also be open to the fact that maybe you might be onto something, that these kids might be sensitive and so on. Do you find that there are more happening with that with the psychiatrist that you might be conversing with or working with in a certain child? Or do you find that slowly changing, that they're opening up, that maybe, yeah, there might be something to this instead in the psychiatry profession?
I think there is a slow change. Occurring. I think psychiatrists are, that I work with, luckily, are feeling that there is something more paranormal or psychic in the, and not an emotional problem. So there is a positive change.
Yeah, I think that actually it's going to get better and better because my daughter, I had mentioned to you, is heading that field in her education right now. My co-host would like to ask you another question as well. Jackie, go on.
Thanks, Maureen. I'm really enjoying this conversation, Athena, and I want to thank you again. And it's like really prompting me to come up with all these ideas and questions I want to share with you and ask you. One of the things that occurred is people who are kind of diagnosed or not even diagnosed as bipolar, you know, this kind of hot and cold and, you know, people that get real triggered and you never know what you're going to get. Is there a spiritual / psychic twist to that kind of behavior? Have you seen that in your profession?
I wouldn't put it directly as a one-to-one, that someone who's bipolar is psychic or someone having psychic experiences are necessarily bipolar. But what happens is if an individual is heightened in an emotional state or in an altered state, and sometimes that can come from stress, they may have more of an openness to psychic experiences. And so someone who is having extreme emotional situations or shifts emotionally may find themselves open to having had or experiencing psychic phenomena.
So what I'm understanding is, let's say they're in that place where they're just kind of losing it and they're just, being all over the place. Because what you were saying earlier is about this being open to, I don't want to say psychic attack per se, but, you know, when you're in that place of really, really feeling low, you're opening the door, so to speak, to, you know, these kind of negative entities being attached to you. Is that what I'm hearing, or I'm not sure if I'm understanding?
That's a possibility. In the field of parapsychology, a lot of research was done looking at individuals entering altered states, Gonsfeld experiments, in which a person would be put in sort of a sensory deprivation environment, and found that they had heightened psychic ability, sensitivity, picking up, being more in tune to telepathic information, precognitive, clairvoyant information. So it's almost at that state. The same thing happens often with teenagers because they're having such hormonal shifts that they're emotionally kind of unbalanced. And because of that, they're sort of at a different vibration level, so to speak, and that allows them to be much more sensitive in hearing and picking up and being aware of psychic phenomena, either be it spirit or telepathic or precognitive kinds of things. A lot of teenagers that were studied by Dr. William Rohl, having recurrent spontaneous psychokinesis, RSPK he called it, were teenagers who had a lot of emotional imbalance, were creating psychokinetic PK events in their home because of that. And he was studying them and doing a lot of research. So when someone can be under such stress or emotional shifts or their hormones are fluctuating so much, it in a sense opens a gateway where they are much more in tune to whatever information is out there, be it an entity, a psychic phenomena, a spirit, knowing what someone's going to say, what's going to happen.
Right. So it's kind of like the other extreme. I don't know how to put it, but I know what I understand what you're saying. You know, they got to this really, you know, the low of the low and the high of the high. So it's, you know, not defining bipolar as, you know, the high and the low, but if you look at it from that spectrum, you know, that kind of perspective, we're always taught to find the middle, you know, find the balance of it all.
Yeah, I understand that too, Jackie, because I'll talk about that later, but with my experience with PK and stuff, I understand what you're asking. And that's interesting, because bipolar used to be called manic depressive, but, Jackie, I'm sorry, were you
also? No, go ahead, Maureen.
I wanted to ask you, Dr. Drews, the steps that helps kids, what are those steps that helps kids that you take certain, you know, the steps that would, do you see the parent and the child together and work with some type, it doesn't matter, I don't know, some of them are very young, of course, but, or do you, how do you, what steps that do you take to help the kids?
Well, depends on how I'm contacted. If it's mm-hmm. someone who's local and I can physically go visit them, I will have usually one or two visits. I'll meet together with the child and the parent, find out from the parent what the concerns are, and then usually I'll meet alone with the child as well and teach them some, like, the psychic protection. In one particular case, the child reported seeing spirits in his room in different parts of the house, and he had a particular fear of sleeping in his bedroom. He felt he couldn't sleep alone. He felt that the spirits were there. And we kind of walked through the house together, and I was able to tell him where I, you know, whether I felt there was anything negative in the house, and then also empowering him how he can tell the spirits to go away. And he was able, while we were there, I was there working with the family, to go up into his room on his own for the first time. And the mother reported then the next day he felt much safer and he could sleep in his room again. I saw him again about 6 months later, just sort of a checkup to see how he was doing, and he was doing much, much better with handling everything. Other families will contact me by email, and we'll do it by email or by phone.
And so those, of course, you have to deal with those differently, but that's lovely to hear that you were able to do that, because I think children, they don't, if they're having experiences and someone's saying, or dismissing them, or saying ignoring them, or just ignore them, or don't, you know, that's not, you're not seeing that, or that's not going on, they stop trusting them, their own intuition, they stop trusting themselves. So by what you did, that's lovely that you're able, because you call, and also people that get anxiety, the parents maybe, and what you did was, one, I mean, it's simple as it may sound, but it's not, but you treated it appropriately by going through with them and making sure that they were cared for while you're doing this. And that's wonderful. That's a really good point, if any parents are listening out there, about that, because a parent could also learn to do that if they could, in a calming, positive way.
Yeah, and I always encourage that for the parent to be able to listen, even if they don't believe in the experiences because they can't see them or haven't had them, to be open, to respond in a matter-of-fact way, to listen, to have the child tell them what it is they're feeling, encourage that they'll get some information or they'll help them get information, not to treat it as, you know, something to make the child a psychic superstar and put them on
play
the same way, not to put them down and be negative about it either, because basically the child depends on the parent for guidance and to feel validated and heard. And if you shut the door on the psychic phenomena, you're going to be shutting the door for them to come to you with other important things as well. So it's important for parents to be open and to be
exactly available. You know what? Now you bring another good point. Do you find that, you know, a lot of people will say children are making this stuff up? They're delusional. Or they're making it up, or they're, it's imagination. What do you think about that?
Well, I believe children. I don't feel kids make things up. If they say it's something that they're experiencing or they're seeing or they're feeling, I believe them. I take it at face value and I validate that. You know, some of it may be age appropriate. You know, parents say, oh, well, they have an imaginary playmate. And it may be spirit. It may be a spirit guide or an angel they're seeing. It's helping the parent just accept it as at face value, rather than calling the child a liar or they're, you know, dismissing them or saying, oh, you're just making it up, and invalidating them because they're pushing the child away from them.
I'm sorry. I'm sorry to interrupt you.
No, I was just going to say, then when there's something very important in their life, if someone's hurting them, bothering them, some worry that they have, they're not going to want to go to the parent because the parent's not going to believe them.
Yeah, that's where they undermine. They can't trust their own. They can't trust themselves because they're thinking that maybe it's not. It's nothing. So it could be very. You know, I find that children really don't make up a lot of things. I mean, you know, the imaginations and such, but I think that, I don't know if you, you know, I think, have you ever read, have you ever doubted when you've met up or heard the emails, doubted that these children are actually going out of their way? I wouldn't think that they would be going out of their way with some of the stuff that they're expressing they've experienced or they're talking about because they're so clear about it. It's, I mean, there's a difference. I'm sure that I just can't see them make. It's the same thing when a child is talking about they're being abused or something. They're not dismissing that anymore. But I think that children are. You're very supportive in the voice for the children to be heard, and making them feel okay to be heard, as well as the parents feeling relieved that there's someone like you. That can help them as well, as, because you can't be around 24 hours a day with these people. But have you also conducted studies, I read, and that have helped help the children tune into their psychic abilities. And I would like to know more about what those studies were. In addition, we did hear about, you know, the meditation, but before you answer that, we need to take a quick commercial. Dr. Drews, and I would like to get back to that. So we need to take a PsychicAccess.com commercial of our sponsor, and we'll be right back.
A new era in psychic services has begun. PsychicAccess.com. You can connect with our psychic advisors by telephone or chat 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. All of our psychic advisors are interviewed, fully verified, and accuracy tested, assuring you quality service. We're living in some very troubled times right now. More and more, the world's problems are affecting us on a personal level. You don't have to deal with this alone. Our highly accurate psychics, caring advisors, and talented mediums can help with situations you are currently experiencing, and can let you know what the future may hold for you. All new customers get a free 6-minute reading. All you have to do is register. Why not visit us now and get a free reading at PsychicAccess.com.
And we're back with Dr. Drews. And Dr. Drews, I was asking about, you've conducted some studies or research that can help children tune into their psychic abilities, and I wanted to know if you could tell us about what kind of things do you utilize, what do you use for that, for this kind of studies with children?
One of the research studies that I did with Dr. Sally Ann Drucker, had published in the Journal of Parapsychology in the past, was using M&M. We call this sort of an M&M game that we did with children. And basically it's taking five different colors of M&Ms and five of each. So you would have five brown, five yellow, five red, five green, five orange, total of 25 M&Ms in a brown paper bag, and shake it up. And the parent, you could do, parent and child could do it together, where the parent would look to see what the candy is that was selected in a different room, and then the child would write down one of the five colors and go through 25 guessing aspects. It would be make a list of 1 to 25, and the parent would pick out candies, put it back, shake it up, pick another one, and keep doing that for 25 trials. Chance would allow for five successes. If you said yellow 25 times, you'd be right five of them. If you got seven or above, it's more than chance that's happening there. There's some psychic ability, telepathic, clairvoyant ability the child has in picking up that information. In the same way, if they only got one right, where five would be chance, something is happening there where the child's avoiding getting the information, sort of freezing or just trying not to get the right answer. So that's kind of a game that can be played with the parent and the child together. You can do several of those trials and see how they do. And the parent could do it too. The child can look at the candy, and the parent can write a list of 1 to 25 and put down each color as they guess it. There are also Wiener cards. You can get Wiener cards from the Rhine Research Center, Rhine.org, which are five different symbols with five of each. It's a deck of cards for 25 cards. The same idea, and you can do that kind of a individually. You can do it as a precognitive event or telepathic event or with someone else.
M&M's are always the best. You know, I used M&M's when I was potty training my daughter.
Right.
M&M's are always so friendly. And
I mean, when they guess the right one, give them from another bag the same color. And
exactly.
That can increase their ability, too.
Yeah, that's wonderful. That's incredibly smart. Did you come up with this, doing the M&M's?
Well, Sally and I came up with it when we were wanting to do some research with children, and we thought that would be kind of the age appropriate for just about all the ages that we were working with. So,
really smart.
It's fun with the adults too.
That was really smart. Jackie has a question, a very good question actually. And Jackie, go ahead and ask. I think this is very good.
Thank you, Maureen. Sorry to keep chiming in here, but you know, I'm just getting all these really great questions, and I'm so happy you're on the line. Athena, and I'm talking from somewhat experience. I'm divorced many years now. But have you encountered any challenges in working with a child whose parents are not together and, quote-unquote, not even on the same page with helping their children? Have you experienced any of that, and how do you work with a child who's, let's say, father thinks the kid's crazy, but the mother wants to help him or her, but yet he still visits with the father, so to speak?
Well, I have dealt with that, and usually what I try to help the child and help the parent that's in favor of the child's abilities and developing them, to put it in perspective, to let them know that not everyone believes in this. And even if the parents are together, sometimes children will go into school and, you know, talk about seeing spirits and get surprised that other people don't share the same enthusiasm. And to just put it in perspective that not everyone believes in this, not everyone can see it or wants to believe in it. And so that you just may not be able to share that with that person. You may not be able to have dad be as supportive, but mom is supportive, and that's where you may need to get your energy from, your validation from, and support from. And there are other things that you can share with dad instead, not to triangulate the child, not to have them feel caught in the middle that dad's a bad person. And because he doesn't do this, to keep the child out of the parental conflict, hopefully the parents can be friends around the issue of their child so that the child doesn't get caught in the middle when they're visiting back and forth.
That's a good point, yeah. Go on, Jackie.
Right. Yeah, thank you for that, because I would imagine that certainly the child doesn't want to feel like he's kind of keeping secrets and, you know, that, and feel bad for thing that's out of, you know, the ordinary. It's a tricky situation, and it's certainly a market, I would feel, for a lot of children who are going through a difficult time, you know, in the middle of a divorce or even living in a situation where the parents don't support each other.
Absolutely.
You know, thank you, Jackie. That is a good question.
Thank you.
That's one thing, though, I would definitely want to keep away from I don't think it's such a, you know, I don't think we should keep things away from each parent. But that, this sort of thing with the positive parent, I think it's what you said, Dr. Drews, is very, very appropriate and reasonable too. But you know, I want to ask you a question. I think I talked to you about this, but many children that are highly intuitive are called many names, like indigo, they're empath or psychic. Do you think that indigo the indigo child is different? Are these just labels for it all? Because, you know, I've just noticed indigo sounds or crystal child, you know, all that. I mean, what up with that?
Well, I know Dr. Doreen Virtue has written a lot about indigo children versus crystal children, rainbow children, and that there are different generations and different abilities within each of them. But I think in general, it doesn't matter what you call the child. I think children and even teens are becoming much more in tune to their own psychic abilities. I think, you know, there's a shift happening energetically in the world, and there are a lot, even adults are telling me that they're starting to develop or become more aware of their own psychic abilities. So I think, you know, children, especially young children, often are much more open to spirit, to psychic kinds of events, because they haven't quite gotten jaded by the worldview that they believe in, and it can't happen. And I think, you know, that we're all psychic and we all have this ability, but not everyone tunes into it, not everyone wants to tune into it or develop it.
Or we get conditioned not to deal with it, and that's so true. Well, you know, if a parent, we're getting ready to end the interview, but I wanted to ask you, if a parent is concerned about their child being crazy or rather wants direction and our help, what is your advice for them, and how can you tell us about your website? Can they go there? There's a lot of information that, as far as I saw over there. It's a wonderful website.
Sure. The website perceptivechildren.org is available for children, teens, and parents. There's lots of information online there. You can also, parents can also send me an email. They can communicate directly. There's a forum that I've set up for professionals, therapists, to also get online, and I hope to create a network there to encourage people in the field to be able to work better with children and be more understanding and open to them. So definitely parents can get information from the website.
That's wonderful. In fact, I spent some time on your website, and it's very informative. And everybody, to contact, you can also, her website is www.perceptivechildren.org, but also her Dr. Drew's contact information will also be on the guest page at psychicaccess.talkradio.com forever. You'll be there. So it'll be there forever. And so anybody who's interested in that, listening, please do so, because it is a very good resource. It's very informative. And Dr. Drews, I'd really like to thank you kindly. I have a great deal of respect for your knowledge and appreciate you sharing your insights with us, and you're helping change things. You really are, and making a difference, and I really appreciate that. And like I said, I wish you were there. Where were you when I was younger? But I guess you were about my age. But I really do appreciate you coming on and sharing this with us.
Well,
very much so. So, and so there you have it. And thank you.
Thank you.
And have a happy new year too.
Same to you, and a happy, healthy one as we start to enter a new year.
Yes, and we're entering it, and we're getting closer, and there has been a shift, and it's wonderful. And I, and like I said, I really, really enjoyed just getting to know what's going on and how you do things. It's just wonderful. It's just really you're making a difference, very much so. And a lot of children, I thank goodness, that this is going on. Bless their hearts. Really. So thank you.
Thank you for coming, Athena. I just wanted to share my gratitude for you, a guest as well this evening.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. So there you have it, Dr. Drew's wonderful woman. And so I do suggest, I'm encouraging anybody, really, her website is www.perceptivechildren.org. But again, it will be her contact information is on her guest page at psychicaccesstalkradio.com. And it will be there forever, so you can always go check that out. anyway, isn't she lovely? I mean, isn't she wonderful, everybody? She's
She was wonderful. She really was. I was like listening to her and her passion for helping parents with, you know, the gifted children and just helping them see them for who they are and not feel about like, time. You know, we got to drug them and label them and make them feel different, you know. Oh,
absolutely. And that just irritates me. Their gifts, you know.
Exactly.
As well, nurturing their gifts.
You know, nurturing.
Seeing these kids as gifted and, you know, not
instead of crazy
just because of their gift, but just making them aware that it is a gift and it's something that can be managed because it can be really scary for kids.
Well, yeah.
They need that support. And
absolutely.
She's got so much knowledge. I had a quick look at the website as well. It's wonderful. And
yeah,
I was laughing good. When you made your point, Maureen. I wish you'd been around when I was a kid because I was thinking just the same.
I know. I think we all can identify. Well, you know, I'd like to take a moment to make a few announcements. And here we go. So I would please be sure to visit our psychicbloggers.com site to learn about everything from reincarnation to the how-tos of psychic development. It's a great site. And if you're interested in reading from the best professional psychics, as us, on the net, go to psychicaccess.com where you'll find the best verified and accurately tested psychics, each with their own unique gifts. And we even had them when we were younger. Each psychic has a detailed profile for you to find more about them and to choose from the list of some of the most authentic gifted psychics around. It is an honor working with Doug. It really is an honor, Doug, and psychicaccess.com because of the high expectations required of each psychic. All of the co-hosts here on psychicaccesstalkradio.com, as well as Laura, even though she's not in here, work at a Psychic Access. And if you would like a personal reading from any one of us, be sure to visit us at psychicaccess.com. We'd love to hear from you. And by the way, site owners, this is a really good deal. And webmasters can earn 50 cents a minute on every reading on traffic that is referred to psychicaccess.com. So for more details, please visit http://psychicaccess.com/webmasters. Okay, the call-in number for readings at the end of the show is, and here it comes, 724-444-4851. Okay, this brings us to our banter portion, and I'm ready for it too because I have some things. Steve, I wanted to ask you: do you believe that there is a connection between hyperactivity, that's a no-brainer, and psychic ability?
Well, I do, to be honest. I mean, I'm not a doctor, so as we always say, if somebody's worried about a health issue or a psychological issue, then they need to get the right advice. But I know from personal experience that there is a connection. I was very hyperactive as a kid. I'm still very hyperactive as an adult, and I'm a working medium. And I just know intuitively and from experience that there is a connection between my spiritual work, my connection with spirit, and the pace at which the energy moves, particularly when we're doing mediumship. There is a connection between that and the very high energy that we have when we're hyperactive. It's something that has to be managed.
Or your body's gonna, you know. I agree with you because I know that I watched you on that show. You know that show I could see, and my leg moves. Your leg moves like mine.
Yeah.
I have that leg thing going on, and I'm very hyperactive. And I'm no doctor either, and we don't claim to be everybody. No, we're just disclaimer, but I do feel as well that there's something to that, and it can be very damaging for me. I know I have, like Jackie saying, I need some meditation going on. But because I've had a lot of physical problems because of this as I become older.
Yeah, and you know, it's really interesting that you say that, Maureen, because if you watch psychics working, and particularly if you watch mediums demonstrating in public, they do not stand still. They move. So if you go to a spiritualist church and you watch mediums standing up in front of the congregation, or you watch a medium on stage, they move around, and it's because the energy is so high, it literally moves you. You can't sit still. And there is definitely also a connection with health. I have to watch my health and really make sure that I slow down and get my rest, because we're working with very high energy, and that has to be managed. And it's actually very difficult to find a doctor or a health practitioner that will make the connection between physical symptoms, physical illness, and spiritual work.
Absolutely.
I've been extremely fortunate, and I've found an amazing chiropractor where I live in Knoxville, and he understands the connection between channeling and some of the physical implications. I don't know what I would have done without him.
Anyone
in this area is interested, they should contact
me. Yeah, fly out.
We need we need more people like him. We really
absolutely
do. We need more practitioners, more psychologists, more health practitioners.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I think that's what we're heading towards in that 2012 again, you guys. This is a shift. The shift is going on right now, and this is even part of it, what we're talking about. And Jackie, thank you, Steve. That's very – and I concur with what you're talking about, Steve. And Jackie, are all dysfunctional behaviors a gift in disguise? Yay.
Well, it's a matter of perspective. No. Actually, you know, thinking about that question – you know, if you look at it from, we are spiritual beings, and I believe, you know, how you hear the phrase, oh, we're spiritual beings having a human experience. I think we're spiritual beings having a spiritual experience.
Exactly.
So from that place, you know, what is it? It's labels. You know, we were talking about labels, you know, the crystal, the indigo and all that, you know, and we carry labels, you know, we wear different masks. We cover our authentic self. So this dysfunctional is just something that we've accepted to be true for us. So I feel that, you know, whatever it is we're struggling with, or whatever it is that we're feeling is a crutch or a disability, there is a spiritual element. There is a gift. Spirituality is a gift. You know, we all have it, but not everybody's open to it. Not everybody sees it that way. Not everybody knows how to operate in that place.
Or they don't embrace it as well, even with their children, you know.
Well, it's a misconception, because they think it's all, ooh, you know, you don't touch that and whatever.
Yeah.
There's so much involved. Right. You know, there's so much involved, because you're breaking down people's paradigms are so, so strong. You know, beliefs are very powerful. And, you know, wars are had over, you know, religion and things like that because of their belief system.
Yeah, that's so true.
But not to get off topic, but basically I feel there is gifts in everything, and I was, you know, half laughingly about perception. It really is. You know, what could be one person's tragedy could be another person's treasure. You know, it's true. And I don't see anything as dysfunctional.
I love how you put that. And my mother can hear. And mother, did you hear that? I hope you just process that, because
mother,
I still have ongoing things. She goes, what's wrong? You're weirdo. You know, whatever. All dysfunctional behaviors. I'm a gift, mother. I'm dysfunctional, but I'm a gift.
Right.
Okay. Thank you. I appreciate that, because it's well, you know, I do it. And Allura has a lot of stuff she wanted to talk about. I'm really sorry, Allura, because I don't have it up here with me, and she can't speak, but we'll let you, you'll get your time to speak again. But Steve, and I'll try to find it, your other stuff, Allura, but Steve, what is the impact of diet, which is, I think is a very good question, upon psychic ability in light workers?
Sorry, I was speaking all about that on pontificating on mute.
Okay. Okay. Well, we'll hear it again.
Yeah. Well, it's in my opinion, and again, I'm not a health practitioner, but in my opinion, and in my experience personally, it's huge. If I eat heavy foods that overly ground me, then it does affect my psychic ability. So I eat really healthy living foods before I'm giving readings. So I'll eat vegetables, fruit, juices, because the living foods still have a living vibration and they raise our vibration. And that's what we do when we work psychically. We're raising our vibration to connect with spirit and to receive information. And particularly with mediumship, we raise our vibration to a really high level and spirit lower their vibration and we connect fleetingly. So I find that food has a huge impact. And after I've given readings, when I want to settle down, I'll often eat something grounding. I'll have bread or I'll have oatmeal, something cooked. But I've also found that certain foods really affect hyperactivity. So if I eat too many chocolates and things like that, then it makes me really high. So for me, there's a big connection. I have to really watch my diet and think about what I'm eating based upon what I intend to do with my time. So if I'm working mediumistically, I think about what will actually help my mediumship. And when I'm switching off, I think about what will help me switch off.
You know, that's interesting. I have been obsessing. I'm not an oatmeal eater. It's funny you bring that up. In the past 2 weeks, I eat oatmeal for my dessert, but I don't put it. I mean, like a, it's a good healthy food, but I have a real problem with eating properly. And I know what you're saying. And even though I'm getting older too, but I think it's, but also, you know, they talk about fasting for days. You know, you're much more vulnerable to some of my best readings have been when I've been exhausted, lack of food, and up for 2 days. But I mean, it's not healthy for your body again, because we talked about that. But sometimes.
I think though, Maureen, it might be, you know, because I also have to watch, but I have to be very disciplined about food, because I skip meals just because I'm always busy, always got too much going on. And I have to be very disciplined about my food, because it does adversely affect my health and my state of mind, particularly if I don't eat regularly. It's to do with grounding, because the diet, you know, we talk about gut feel. There's a connection between the expression gut feel and working psychically and sensing information. And there's a connection between that and actually filling the gut, so eating and grounding. Mm-hmm. So I can understand that when we don't eat much, we get a bit high, our energy gets quite high, but we have to manage that.
Right. Yeah, and I think that I better do it now. We'll come in. But oatmeal, I've been doing the oatmeal. And Jackie, this goes into what Jackie. I'd like you to share other phases, phrases. You know, Atlantis. Here I come. It's always ongoing for me. For ADD instead of the textbook, which I really like to hear about this. I'm looking forward to this version. Go for it.
Oh, well, thanks. You know, it's so funny that there's a lot of different acronyms for things. And, you know, ADD, as they say, is attention deficit disorder. There's a couple little phrases I've heard and I've actually felt guided to write down and share. So, for example, ADD for me, like the new one that I would like to share with you would be, for example, accessing dual dimensions. Always directly dialed in.
Lovely.
And access divinity directly. Wonderful. So in other words, like we were saying, you know, people that are diagnosed with this, you know, rather than looking at it from kind of being in different, you know, say different dimensions or, you know, a heightened awareness, that's really what I like to look at it as, you know, the gift of ADD and seeing it as, you know, they're operating from a different frequency. And, you know, one of the things I didn't ask your guest, but, you know, this autism,
right,
you know,
right.
What I've heard somebody share about that is that for people that are autistic, now, I'm not saying they're all like that, but just from what I heard is that they've yet to completely come to earth, so to speak. You know, they're living sort of mentally, so to speak, and still in this other dimension. And I thought that was pretty interesting. And I was like, wow, you know, what we see when we look at somebody and see somebody as different, you know, whether they're, you know, have MS or, you know, let's say they're not what we consider normal and they're not really there, but they're there. It's like, where are they? You know, and I really believe that they're in that other place. They're still have, you know, one foot in that other dimension. And they're looking at themselves as, you know, we're looking at ourselves as normal. If we only knew, you know,
we are the norm. We are the normal. The norm are the mass of the individuals in this world. That's how I've come to grips with it. But you know, it's interesting you bring that up. I was at my therapy. You know, I don't see psychics. Everybody, okay? Except I love all the people I work with here. But and there's some reasons. But the thing of it is, I was sitting waiting for to be called into my therapist about a month ago. This guy had one of those new iPad, you know, whatever they are, that does everything for you. Right. iPads, I guess they're called. Anyway,
I don't have to do anything.
Yeah, and I was sitting, and I'm real friendly, and I'm sitting next, and I'm sitting outside in the sunshine over here, and I look at this guy, and I'm looking at the same kind of little staring, and he smiled at me, so he shared it. He goes, "You want to try?" I go, "Sure." And I go, "Hey, so what's your craziness?" You know, because I laugh about it, because I go to, you know, a therapist, and there's drinks and stuff, and so everybody knows my dirty business, okay? But the bottom line is, he goes, "I'm a schizophrenic." And he wasn't joking. I go, "Really?" And I said, "Do you mind if I ask you questions?" Because I didn't get shied away from it. I wanted to know because I've had – I just can't stand it when I hear people label this or that because I was all my life. And one of them was bipolar. But he was the most articulate individual, wonderful. I asked him, "What's the problem? You know, what does it get like?" And I know schizophrenia is hard to, you know – diagnosed, but it was fascinating. And I'm gonna, for just a moment, I'm gonna leave with that. We'll come back to Steve. I want to ask you something too. But we need to take People's TV Network commercial, and we'll be right back. And we're back. Thank you. So I was going on and on about that, but I'm gonna go off my subject, and I want to go to Steve. Steve, what allowances should parents make for sensitive psychic kids?
Gosh, did I submit that question?
Yes, you did.
why did I do that? Why did I go there?
Because okay. You know this.
I think, you know, as I look back at my childhood, there are certain allowances that I think parents should make for very sensitive kids or kids that are seeing and experiencing spirit. And one of them is being understanding and respectful about sleep. When I was a kid, I had a lot of issues with sleep, and it was quite simply because I would be woken up all of the time. And I developed quite a phobia about sleep, and it's taken me many years to sort that out. And I really liked what your guest was saying about helping children to put in place boundaries. So I would say one of the allowances we have to make for psychic kids is an understanding and an awareness of issues around sleep and making, because you really, if you're doing psychic work or you're seeing spirit, you really do need your sleep. You really do need your rest. But it can be a challenge. So being understanding about that and not just presuming that they're, you know, they're crying at night because they're being difficult. Being understanding about the issues with sleep and encouraging them to put boundaries in place with spirit and getting them in touch with an expert that actually understands and can teach them some of the techniques. I think as well, food is important. You do see some cases where people, parents, obviously can see that their child is psychic or is mediumistic and they're excited about that and they make too many allowances. Mm-hmm. And so I have seen quite a bit of that, you know. Certain parents can get who are either psychic or want to be psychic themselves get all excited and almost idolize the ability in the child, and
yes,
that can be negative. We live in this world. we have to partake in it, and you know, if we encourage the child to stand out too much, it can actually cause them problems when it comes to schooling and socializing. So
yeah,
some allowances, but I'm British, and I don't know.
No way. You kidding me? A fake accent.
I was brought up with some still quite old-fashioned beliefs about not having too many allowances, but there are definitely some that are required.
Well, you know, it's interesting you bring this up because this is where the indigo, I haven't talked much about it, and I know that has been bothering me for a while now, because aren't we all indigo children when we come into this world? And it's just a label. But indigo, it seems like they've been putting this, you know, where the, you know, when the parents idolize and they put their child up on this lovely pedestal, they're like the Messiah.
The
bee's knees, okay? And the thing of it is, indigo, the crystal children are coming down. I think we have come down. We came from somewhere. The mothership dropped me up, whatever. But the thing of it is, I think it's the insensitive, intuitive ones that are not, you're not able to condition. The ones that are unusually hard to, so it's almost like, in a way, you have to make allowances for it. So, and then you're talking about sleep, and I'm a sleepwalker to this day, really bad. I mean, I've been from the time I was younger. But because, and I'm sorry, Mother, I'm going to say this, but because of my situation, it was what it was. And it wasn't anything, there was a lot of money, so I was just supposed to be happy, but it wasn't so wonderful. I'm not complaining about financial loveliness, but it wasn't wonderful because there wasn't any, even allowances, but there wasn't any advising. There wasn't any acknowledgement. There wasn't any anything except you're crazy. And so I medicate and self-medicate, whatever. So I think you're right about that, Steve, because there should be some, if you're in a good situation with parents that are able to do that, but not overdo it, because my child's, you know, YouTube, all over the place, the crystal children. I don't know what you guys think about that, but I've kind of like had all I could take of that.
Well, like we were saying earlier, Maureen, I think, or maybe I was saying, I don't know, but, you know, these labels, they are like so ridiculous, but yet it's everywhere. I mean, if you think about it, we label things and we call things names, you know, but, you know, you ever hear of A Course in Miracles? You guys ever
heard
of that?
I've done A Course in Miracles, yes.
I haven't done it, but I started to do it at one point. But, you know, it was, I believe, maybe one of the first two or three exercises was about looking at something without the label, like a tree. If you didn't know it was a tree, you know what I'm saying? The name, like these labels,
right,
these names. It's about connecting back with, you know, the essence of who we are. And whether it's, you know, light workers or crystals or indigos or starborn, you know, the point is, those that are choosing to come here at this point in time is to bring more light to the world. Whatever you want to call it, whatever age, you know, and you think about the soul, you know, I've been here 25,000 years. That I know for sure. You know, the point is, we each have something that we're here to bring. Our soul does not make mistakes. And however you want to label it, it's for the kind of common man, you know, for people to understand and make sense of. But, you know, we know this intuitively, you know, deep down we know this. But it's this label thing. It's just, you know, and I'm with you, Maureen. My childhood was, you know, not a bed of roses, and, you know, the black sheep in the family, you know, the troublemaker, you know, label it what you want. But I'm like, hey, you know what? It makes me who I am today, and I'm happy about that.
But you know what? Now what I'm called, not by my family so much, I'm special. And I'm eccentric. I'm not the nuts or crazy or bizarro. Bizarre. I always like that word, bizarre. But now that I'm older, I get these lovely other labels. But you do know, we all come into this, and I've said it before on the show, we all come in before we even know the sex of ours, before anybody does. Well, God might, or whatever, if you want to, your creator, whatever. We all have a psychic inheritance that we come in to this world, at this life. I'm with all of us, even my mother and my father. And it's just about how we deal with it. And so what Steve says about the allowancing, it to me is very important, because, again, like you said, the latter part, Steve, what you put, you know, you don't want to put these children into the gift of all gifts. And, you know, that kind of thing is, you don't, do you know what I mean? I mean, we should allow for them, but they're all, The next child is not called the indigo, but is a sensitive, just the same. An indigo child, if the parents are going, oh, but you're the new, say, indigo, shouldn't feel inferior, and it's all about labels, but it's what our, you know, families teach us in our society. But Jackie, how can we best support our gifted children?
Right, and you know,
and ourselves, yes.
Well, you know, it's interesting on that note. I'll go right into it, but I think when you were saying with allowances, it's really that's an ego place. You know, that's about putting them up on a pedestal and inflating their ego, and then they kind of have this way of being that, you know, well, I'm better than everybody. And, you know, the ego is a very tricky, sneaky little SOB, quite frankly. But, you know, we got to embrace it. You know, we need it on some level. But, you know, to be able to support our children, you know, it's just like your guest was saying, not letting them, you know, taking what they say at face value. You know, I remember as a child, you know, oh, I'm sad. Well, oh, get over it. Like, what is that? You know, what is that? That doesn't do me any good.
I know.
But, you know, to say, listen, okay, tell me about that, you know, or how does that feel? You know, rather than, one of the things I like, and I heard this somewhere, was rather than asking, you know, what do you think? Okay. You could say, what do you feel? Because feel, ask them to get back into their body, you know, to get out of the logical brain, you know, because this getting back in touch with ourselves starts with within our body. So one of the ways I would suggest, you know, to embrace the children and their gift is just asking them how they feel and giving them that space to share without judging. You know, just letting them have the floor to talk freely and just to say, okay, you know, I'm glad, rather than, oh, well, I'm sorry to hear. You know, sometimes people just want to be heard and they don't want anybody to say anything.
Yeah, well, and, you know, it gives them, let them feel a sense of belonging, especially if there's a lot of brothers and sisters as well in there. And that, I think, is very important. And that's a very good thing you just brought up, and I hope everybody... Well, of course they've heard it, and they're going to hear it on archives, too. Because, Jackie, you are this is the last of our banter, because we're going to go start with the readings. Jackie, I really appreciate you bringing that up, though, because that's important for me. Identify, as you know, we both kind of identify what
you're
talking about. So I really appreciate that. And
that's why I'm here.
And that's why you're here. And that's why we want you. I adore you. And I loved being on your show, by the way, last week.
Wonderful. Yeah, You're coming back.
It's fun. So we have come to that part of the show where we will be taking your calls and your questions. You can either call in or ask your question in the chat room. However, we do have to take the call-ins first due to the wait time. So the call-in number for your free reading is 724-444-4851. Again, the number is 724-444-4851. And please be aware that each call will automatically be placed on hold and will be answered in the order received. So just please relax and listen to the show while you wait and enjoy yourself. And we ask that you please be very specific with and direct with your one question, as this will allow for us to better connect with your situation. It really does. So that's that. So our first call is from New York. Hello, New York.
Hello, how are you?
Oh, I'm fine, thank you. And what's your name?
My name is Chrissy.
Hi, Chrissy. And what's your question for us this evening?
My question is regarding my spirit guide. I would like to know more information about my spirit guide. Anything you could tell me?
Mm-hmm. Okay, so you'd like some more information about your spirit guide. Anything that, that could help you? Great. Go for it.
Hi, Chrissy. This is Jackie.
Hi.
I'm hearing a name, Samuel. And
Samuel?
Feel he's somebody who, he's like a carpenter. He's somebody who works with his hands. He builds things. He creates things. And I feel like he's here to help you. to get okay. back into your creativity. And what that means is about, you know, rather than creating because, you know, the fun of it, you know, the joy of creating rather than the pressure of creating, you know, feeling like, oh, I gotta make something and it's gotta be good. But just allowing yourself to flow into that creative place and just really, you know, from an inspired place rather than a, I have to do it place.
Oh, okay.
I mean, that's just what I'm getting. That was the name that the guides brought through and what he represents for you. But did you have a specific question or was that just what you were looking?
Steve's still with us.
Yes, I'm here.
There you are.
Yep.
I'm sorry, Chrissy. Steve, did you have something to add to this?
Well, I was seeing a gentleman as well, actually, and I wasn't getting the name, although I heard I heard an M sound, which ties in with the Samuel sound or the Samuel name. But I was getting this gentleman as well. That's very well built because I was seeing these broad shoulders. He's very, very strong. And when I tune in to him, I get connections to Scotland. And I see a kilt. I see the Scottish kilt. And my guides talk of connections to Scotland as well in the family. Do you have a family connection in the past to Scotland?
No, not at all. My family is more in Central America.
Okay. Well, why am I drawn to Scotland? I'm asking my guides, why are they drawing me to Scotland? Because this gentleman wears the kilt. And I see construction with him as well, because I'm seeing a lot of stone, and I see, you know, you've heard of, everyone's heard of Stonehenge. I visited Stonehenge earlier this year, and there are lots of standing circles in all over the UK and in many different countries, and also it's huge in Central America with all of the monuments and construction there. And when I asked this gentleman why I'm seeing this connection to Scotland and why I'm seeing standing stones, he's talking about energy and ley lines, and he's talking about the spiritual power of certain locations and ley lines, and he's talking about energy work. And when I ask for more information, there's a lady that steps in, and she wears a beautiful white cloak, and she's holding out her hands to you. She's holding out her palms, and she's talking about energy work. And when I ask, well, does this mean you are an energy worker? They both nod at me. They both shake their heads and say, yes, absolutely, you're an energy worker.
Oh, what does that mean, energy worker?
Maybe she doesn't understand what the energy worker would be.
Yes.
Steve,
yes, I got
it. You got it. Okay, I probably will. And I think Steve and Jackie are very, very good with their finding the spirit guides. I hope that helped. I hope that gave you some insight, Chrissy.
Yes, it did. Yes, it did.
Great. Thank you for calling, and I hope everything's nice and warm for you in New York, hopefully. But you have a happy New Year.
Oh, thank you. You too.
Thank you.
Bye.
Thank you. And we have another call from New York. New York's real hot. Well, no pun intended.
No, no, no. We're freezing.
Well, I'm not. Hi, New York.
Hello.
Hi, and what's your name?
Maggie.
Hi, Maggie. And what's your question for us?
This man that I've known for about 6 years, his name is Dan, and I'm wondering when we'll connect again, when I'll see him.
His name is Dan?
That's what
he is. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And when will you see him again? Okay, got it.
Hi, Maggie. Just for you guys, I know Maggie from Psychic Access, so I'm happy to give you some insight, Maggie. But I'm excited to see, to see how what information Jackie and Maureen sense for you, because I've spoken to you a number of times.
I've just been crying for like the past week with the holidays and everything. Thanksgiving, even, like, I just cannot calm down because he's like a soulmate to me. Like, I love him so much, and oh my god, I'm like almost crying now.
Right,
I miss him so much.
Yeah, Maggie, and that's okay, you know. And one of the first things I'm sensing for you is this overwhelming need to forgive yourself. And be in this place of releasing. I mean, it's very healing. I can't give you a straight answer right now on when you're going to hear from this guy, you know, but for you in this moment, it's so important to allow yourself to let whatever you're feeling out, because it's part of your growth and part of your journey moving forward. I get this really strong feeling, Maggie, that you have this untapped potential to be a healer yourself. I know that might be this theme here tonight for some reason, but there's so much that you have that you're not even aware of, because I feel like it's masked by this very intense connection with this guy. And not to say it's not valid, absolutely, but for some reason it's distancing you from getting in touch with who you are, and this crying and this letting go is okay. You know, it's normal. It's part of this growth process you're going through. So what I'm getting for you at this point in time is you're going to be releasing. It's like this detoxification of your emotions. And with that will come this clarity, this understanding. I don't feel like he's going to be showing up anytime soon, only because that may seem to distract you from working through this sifting through of things that's going on with you internally. Maggie, the way I get my information is I see things very deeply on a very soul level. So from that perspective, you know, there's a lot of healing that's going on. And the reason that's going on is because it's going to allow you to be able to use that to be able to work in a healing capacity down the road. The relationship part is a trigger to it. I do feel eventually this guy may come around, but you're going to be in a different place when he does, because it's about getting the strength. You know, when you kind of let this all go, there's also an incredible strength that accompanies it after the fact, and you're going to be clear. And there's going to be this this abundance. I'm not saying financial abundance, but there's going to be a feeling. You're just going to feel like so much stronger. This level of confidence is going to come through for you. There's so much more going on that I see for you than when is this guy going to call me. There is so much more for you that you're going to be doing in your life. And I think this guy is a catalyst, even though he's not there per se, to prompt you. It's prompting you to let go.
Jackie, I'm sorry to interrupt.
That's
you.
Okay.
Maggie, my name's Maureen. I wanted to interject in this, if you don't mind. Well, I'm going to. Here I go. and I'm sorry. It's a really hard time to feel as you do at this time of year. It's hard, and I'm sorry that you're going through a lot of pain. It does. I can see it. And, you know, it's almost like things aren't what they appear to be. It's almost like you're not getting everything that's really going on. The picture is not getting, you're not seeing everything because it's not, you're almost like being intellectually raped type of deal. And it's not right. So it's in a way, you can't really, it's like, things aren't what they appear to be. Whatever's going on, I do feel that in the past, obviously, I can see why you have, I see him in the past being sensitive, loving, and even able to commit. But then it was bad timing, or then it was stagnating. Something was always going on. He has a lot of work to do, very much so within himself, and you can't do it for him. And a lot of times women will hang out with the man and help him get through us to see the light, because if we do that, we're all that and then some. And I know I've had a habit of doing that. Well, I don't have a habit. I end up doing that because of the work I do. And it's gotten to me into a really bad place. But I do feel that he is having some issues that are way beyond your relationship. And I don't think he is, what's the word I'm looking for? I don't think he's capable of being involved in a relationship, let alone you are. It's not you that's the problem here. There's some major issues. It's very unfair. But there's stuff in his job I'm picking up on. Your heart has been ripped apart. He doesn't feel good. He gets depressed. He feels anxious. He gets hyper. He's back and forth. But I think that it's stuff that he is within himself that way before he met you was not sorted out yet. So I think that his job is one torment, that he hasn't been getting acknowledged. He feels inadequate as a man, and it's not because of you that he feels this way. He has been. There's mean female energy. There's been a lot of anger, rage in the female energy department, not from you, but just some females. So he has issues with that. I'm sorry. Maggie, yes?
From his wife. Yeah, I think it's from his wife. I don't know.
Yeah, very well. It's somebody. She's and so he is almost like debilitating. It's debilitating him. Everything's been debilitating, and it's sad because I can see again in the past he's sincere and honest, but he's not healthy. He's not healthy. I'm not talking about physically, or I'm talking about all around. He is not healthy to be involved in a relationship, and it's very it is unfair. However, I do feel very strongly that you're not getting everything that's going on. It's like he may have said something, I don't want to see it, whatever, I don't know the situation, and he might have even been really kind of cruel about it, and perhaps instead of saying really what was going on, I think there's much more to this going on. Things aren't what they appear to be. It's not that I think he just doesn't want to see you, he doesn't love you, or it has nothing to do with that, but he chose not, he's not capable of really letting you know what really is going on. So it's almost like being hidden. Everything is hidden from you. It's like you're in a veil. A veil's over your face. There's no doubt about it. I do see you along the way, and I think that you should not see this so unrealistic, because I don't want you to think that it's only a fantasy, or you're like hallucinating that one day you would ever be coupled up. Do you want children and everything? Or you're a young woman, aren't you? Maggie?
I mean, I see him as a soulmate, like, as my husband, as, like, the father, like, my kids.
Yeah, and I do feel it's going to be a while, it will be up to your choice, and a lot of things can happen. I feel if you can try, I know I don't usually say this, but in your case, and I'm being objective, and not everybody's the same, in your case, I feel the best thing for you to do in the next 4 months, it sounds odd, is to do whatever you can to be as superficial about the situation as you can, because by doing so you'll save yourself from a lot of more heartache. I do feel that I see you with somebody, and it's going to be a long term something. I see two children around you. I don't usually get that much way into the future, or sometimes I do, but it looks like this thing is incomplete, and I think that what you need to do is just do your thing, like Jackie had mentioned, and be, like I said, if you can just detach spiritually and not be, and be shallow, I guess, about the relationship, that's the best thing, and go about yourself. I really feel there's a good potential here that he'll do some work, but it's going to take a while, and I know your heart's been broken, and by that time, maybe you'll find someone else, but I think that this is a real interesting time for you, but I think it's also part of your learn lessons, hard lessons, but lessons to get to be with yourself. So I hope that helped. And I think Steve has something more to say as well. And he's going to be calling me back on, because Steve mentioned he wanted to say something. And Maggie, I don't know if you followed me okay with that. But, and I am sorry, I can feel the pain in your heart. It's just, it hurts. And there's always a triangle with this. It's like always something coming into the picture. And his ex, wife, whoever, it doesn't really matter. But he is not happy. He's not having a happy time not being with you, let's put it that way. But he also cannot be with you because he is not healthy enough emotionally, mentally, and he can't function in a relationship. And I think in some ways, I think he does care about you a lot, that he, I know it's so not fair. I really get that, Maggie. It's so not fair.
I feel him, his hands, his body, like I feel him.
Well, Steve's back too. Steve, you back?
I am back. I'm sorry.
There you go.
I lost my connection, but I'm here.
That's okay.
Maggie, and, Maggie, I concur with what Maureen and Jackie have said. I guess the one difference that I sense is that he loves you as well. And when I ask my guides if your love for him is one-sided, I get the very clear answer that no, it's not. It's a two-way street, and he does have very deep feelings for you. I do get the same sense that he's not in a great place right now emotionally, and I also concur with Maureen saying that, you know, there are issues with him around work. They're all things that he'll work his way through. But you have to trust that you're not meant to be with him right now. And if he were available tomorrow, it still would be too soon. Because he's not ready emotionally. As I said, the difference I sense is that I do feel you being together, but you've got to be kinder to yourself, because you have to say to yourself, you know, if it's going to take some time for two people to be together, would you choose for them or for one of them to be so desperately unhappy and have this desperate yearning for that length of time? You wouldn't choose that for somebody. If you were thinking of a friend, or if you were advising me, you would tell me to enjoy life, to have a good time, to love myself as much as I love the other person. Because one of the challenges with you is that you love him so intensely, but you've got to love yourself the same way and more. And that's when things can unfold. So I do feel you being with him because there's an extremely strong connection, but it is going to take time. And I don't see you being together in 2011. If it happens in 2011, it would be the end of 2011. But he's got a lot to work through, and you have to somehow come to peace with that. And you have to have the love for yourself to live your life, and, you know, make sure that you don't torture yourself with this situation. You have to trust that if spirit wanted to come about and it's meant to be, then it will. But you can't determine the timing.
Maggie, you take care of yourself and bless your heart. I mean, I get it, but I agree with Steve. I got the same thing Steve was saying. But, you know, I think you're going to be a happy woman. Or happiness is also sometimes some hard times, but just be with yourself. You know, I know it's easy for me to say, but just hang in there. You're a good person, and he does love you. There's no doubt about it. He's just not. He needs to get it cleared up, sorted. And he can't do that with you, like you said. He can't do it. If he came back tomorrow, it wouldn't work. Absolutely, it'd just be right back. So, you know, be gentle and good, and comfort food, cinnamon toast, peanut butter toast, honey. Good stuff. Okay. Thanks, Maggie.
Bye.
Good Goodbye. Bless her heart. We have a Maggie, take care. We have a call from Idaho. Hi, Idaho.
Hi, this is Kirsten. How are you?
Oh, fine. Kristen. Hi, Kristen. How are you?
Kristen.
What is your question for us this evening?
I have a question about my business. I've been an entrepreneur for just a couple of years, and it started out primarily focused on the parenting side of things and helping parents basically raise better kids and really respect kids for who they are. But at this point, I'm kind of feeling drawn towards working more with just moms and moving more into coaching. So it's kind of a hard transition. I've started writing a parenting book, but it hasn't been published yet. So I don't know if this is a good time to switch over or if I need to stay focused on one thing. Do you guys have any insights?
Okay, good question.
Hi, Kirsten, this is Jackie. I want to congratulate you on everything that you're doing because it's something that's very needed in this day and age. And if you didn't hear our show, you may want to listen to it in the archives. We did have a guest on this evening who works with parents of sensitive psychic children. Absolutely. One of the things I got for you right away is that you are somebody who's absolutely capable of managing quite a bit. You know, the key is not to take on more than you can chew, but you can certainly do several things at once. I do coaching as well. And, you know, what you'll find is that everything will seem to flow in nicely. You know, there's no I feel like you kind of compartmentalize things and you know, want to make sense of it all. But just be open to what other modalities can bring into your life and into your business. Because it's really going to enhance what you're doing. And coaching is very foundational. It's very fundamental because what it does is it allows you to be able to communicate with people much more effectively and empowering them. You know, coaching is an awesome gift. It's an awesome tool. I love it. I could do it all the time. But you are definitely going to go into that area. I would definitely check that out for you, for your next step. So I think that is going
to
be...
I'm almost thinking like 6 months out to start into that. I mean, do I need to finish up what I'm working on right now? Do I need to go more into... Do I need to rewrite my book for something else? Do you,
No. I don't see anything being different. You know, see, the thing here is that you don't really need to change anything. All you need to really do is just say, oh, you know what, I'm open to receiving these new ideas. You know, if you're feeling stuck with the book, you know what, maybe put it down for a little bit and say, all right, you know what, I'm not feeling it right now, so I'm just going to wait a little bit. You know, because you're like action. You want to get things done, you want to know, and you want to move forward. But, you know, sometimes things are about, you know, divine timing where you may need to just sit a little bit. You know, doing nothing is still doing something because what you're doing is you're kind of, you know, clearing your thoughts, you know, and just being in that place of opening yourself up to, you know, kind of guidance, so to speak, to come through. I wouldn't think too hard on this or try so hard because really that just kind of creates a block and then you feel a little stuck. But since you do like to write, you may want to do like a journal for yourself and just say, you know what, I'm just going to put it out there and just, you know what, I love this idea. And if it's, you know, just show me what I need to do because it is going to come to you. It is part of something that you're going to be doing down the road. And trust your gut on that. Okay. I feel like you have this really great insight already. And it's just trusting that what you're doing is going to be perfect.
Awesome. Thank you so much.
Oh, you're welcome. Go ahead, Steph. Sorry.
I've got some insight for you as well. And is your name Kristen or Kirsten?
It's Kirsten.
Kirsten.
Like ear, okay, Kirsten.
You know, Kirsten, my guides were were laughing a little bit when you first spoke, and they're not laughing at you. They it's just kind of the way they are, and they do it to say, "Hold on, ask this person to think about what they just said." And the reason they're doing that is, and they're being very clear, is they're saying, when we give someone Wonder Woman abilities, of course we wouldn't expect them to do one thing. Right? So you have such fantastic talent, such a fantastic brain. You're so wonderful with people that, no, it wouldn't be right for you to do only one thing spiritually, professionally, energetically in life. And you will not be satisfied just doing one thing, because you get bored. You need a lot of stimulation. You need a lot of information, a lot of different interactions. And so just bear that in mind. My guides draw my attention into the coaching, and they're quite clear in the sense that they say, you are absolutely a coach, but you have to just, there's something about marketing. You have to think more about marketing. You know, so many people right now are doing coaching in different forms, and it's wonderful, but the challenge is, from a marketing perspective, you've got to articulate what your niche is, and you have got a niche. My guides say for you that you are more a psychologist than a coach. And so it's, I'm not turning you away from coaching, but I'm just wanting to make you aware that you have an extremely sharp mind, and academically you're brilliant. And you will be so incredibly, you already are successful, but you'll be so incredibly successful if you give it more of a leaning towards psychology. It's just perfect for you, and you help so many people, you'll help so many more. But my guys laughed as well, because you're asking about, well, what's my direction? And they're saying, tell her to listen to this show. Because if you listen to the beginning of the show, it's all about helping children and parents understand children. Yeah. You know, because you're spiritual and you have a strong connection with the spiritual side of things. So you have free will to choose, but my guides are saying, in a nutshell, you're a coach. You have a strong leaning towards psychology because of your very excellent intellect. And you have a very strong connection with the contents of the earlier part of the show about children, energy, spirituality, spiritual work, all the connections with ADD, etc. The one thing you do need to change is you need to have more fun, because this is your dream. Being an entrepreneur, working for yourself, doing what you love is your dream. It's wonderful. But you recently started to turn it into work. You started to make it feel by work, because you're worrying about it and you're not going with the flow of your passions and just trusting your instinct. Does that make sense to you?
It makes 100% sense. Can I ask because my husband works very different than me. He's very linear and one thing at a time, and so we're trying to work together in a way, and his way feels so restraining to me, because I do need all that energy and the interaction and 100 things flying at a million miles a minute. How can we work together so that we can still be a team and be on the same page?
Okay. The answer that my guides give is very simple. Respect each other, love each other, and be glad for those differences, because if you were both the same, it would not work.
Mm-hmm.
There's a middle ground in your free time, and you need to have more fun. But in your work, you work differently. You have different priorities. It's fine.
Right, and be open to, and I know we got to wrap it up here, but be open to what he can bring to the table as well as what you can bring to the table, because you'll find a common ground. You guys can work together nicely. Yeah. It's about being open and being communicative and being clear about what you both need.
And thank you for calling. Thank you for calling. I hope that helped you. These two were really great.
Oh,
readers.
Immensely.
And
thank you so much.
Hope to see you, hear from you again. And we have one more call from New York. A lot of people from New York calling. And I think it's because we're nice and warm people. Hi, New York.
Hello, how are you?
Fine, how are you? And what's your name?
Great, I'm great. Elsie?
Dre?
Elsie.
Elsie.
Elsie, I'm sorry, Elsie. Yes. Hi, Elsie, and what's your question?
I just have a quick question regarding my relationship. Me and my fiancé had a really rough few months, and I just want to know, is it going to get better for the new year?
Okay. That's a direct question. Thank you very much for that.
It's a very direct question.
Yes, it's good.
What I'm getting for you, Elsie, is that things will will turn around. And the reason being that things were kind of rough, it's like this holiday, I don't know, you know, this craziness of the holiday, you know, there was a lot of negativity in the world. It wasn't even like you guys, you know, it's just like, I just feel like you personally are somebody who's very sensitive and you pick up other people's kind of negativity.
Yes.
So you've been finding yourself feeling more short-fused lately and just not tolerating much. You know, you just seem to, like, all of a sudden, like, oh, my God, I don't know why, I just can't deal with this. One of the things I would suggest for you is to very quickly, actually, you can do this, is clearing your aura. And you can do that by taking a bath and using Epsom salt or sea salt. Because I feel like you've just carried a lot of negative baggage, but it's not yours. It's just the environment that you're around and things that you may have been unintentionally and unaware of exposed to. And also, and as a result of that, I feel like you might have been noticing more of your fiance's negative qualities and losing sight of what it was that you did like and enjoy about him in the first place. And only because you've been carrying around a lot of, you know, energy that just doesn't feel very good. Because I'm just getting that you're a very sensitive person and you seem to be the one that where people might go to for problems or talk to about things.
Yes.
And not sure how to say no sometimes. And then all of a sudden, it's like you've taken on their issues. Not their issues, but you know what I'm saying? That negativity seems to linger with you. So first and foremost, you could do that for yourself. But I don't see any major, I don't see anything going on that would inhibit, you know, you guys moving forward in a wonderful relationship, because I feel like he's a great guy and you guys are good together. It's just this something that you just kind of picked up along the way.
All right. Thank you for calling. And I hope that you come back next week for our show and the week after that. And thank you, everybody, for calling. It brings us to the end of our yet another great show. Amazing, as I think. I thank you, caller. I don't know if she's up, but thank you for calling. And sorry we got a little bit late on our getting off. Okay, Elsie. Something's going on my computer, but it's not me. Okay, here we go. Okay, so that brings us to yet another outstanding show, as I said before, but I thought it meant give it a second run. I wish to thank my co-host and our executive producer, Doug, as always, for being so supportive and then some. And next week's show will be anchored by Allura. And Allura, as we all know, can't speak very well due to, you know. But what can we look forward to next week, Steve, via Allura's show? Steve?
Absolutely. It's going to be a great show. Alora is going to host Matara, who she trained with. And the show is going to be all about soulmates and twin flames. So what they are, the differences between them, misconceptions, the roles that they play in our lives. So it's going to be a really great show. Matara's got huge experience as a clairvoyant, numerologist, transchannel, so many other things. So join us for that show. I know that Laura is very passionate about her work because she's trained with her. So join us, and it'll be another great show.
Yeah, it's a great subject to talk about, too. We all know that. And thanks, Steve. And if you want to say thank you, Steve, go ahead and say your goodbyes like you normally would, how I have it on the... because I know Laura was going
to
be...
Thank you, Maureen. Well, I want to thank you, Maureen, because... It was a brilliant show. I really enjoyed that show. It's one I'm going to listen to many times. So thank you to you and to everyone. It was a wonderful show. And just want to encourage people to keep telling their friends and family on Facebook and by email about the show. It's going to be an exciting year next year.
Yeah, thanks, Steve. And Jackie?
Yeah, thank you, Maureen, for your wonderful energy and bringing forth the... your guest this evening. It was wonderful, and definitely Steve, right on. You know, please let everybody know about the show, and lots of great things coming in 2011. And we're going to be kicking off with John Holland in a couple weeks, and you know, each guest brings something valuable to the show, and all the co-hosts here, and we just have a great time. So,
you guys are great. Just lovely. And bless your hearts. Yeah, it's fun. And bless your hearts, everyone. And well wishes for a new year. We'll see you next year. I love to say that.
And get well soon, Alora.
And yes. And her voice will be back for next year.
Hot tea.
Good night. Good night.
Bye, guys.
Good night.